Welcome, everybody. You get the blessings of the show.
Happy Father's Day.
That's why we're playing this song. Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts here to talk about dads a little bit this morning, so please stay with us. We got James Taylor in Denver this summer, don't we?
We do. We're going, I think.
Absolutely. What a nice summer we got between Paul McCartney, James Taylor, and a program about our dads. Willie? Thank you, baby. See, get us tickets.
Willie got a haircut.
He did?
Yeah.
Going with sort of my look now?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit longer.
Yeah, he has hair to deal with. Well, appreciate y'all tuning in our show today, and it's going to be fun, Bob, just spending half hour together talking about fathers and Father's Day and maybe a couple of things we all should be thinking about on this day.
Yep, it's an important subject. I was thinking actually early this morning, knowing that we were going to be talking about this, about a number of years ago when we were doing a lot of retreats with men, and I remember reading the book by, I think it's David Blankenhorn, and who had done all of this research on families in America and wrote the book Fatherless America and said it was the number one social issue in our country. So, important subject.
Yeah, important. And what popped into my mind thinking about this with you is my dad, Dale Mitchell, was a great Major League Baseball player. In fact, Mike Rosen was doing a show recently on the perfect game that was blown by the umpire who just unfortunately picked that moment to miss the call at first base, and the kid, Galarraga, ends up with a one-hit shutout. But
and a Corvette. See, I thought he came up pretty good in the deal.
I'm glad they did that. That was a good move by GM.
Yeah. But the guy was classy, too.
But Mike Rose and I were just talking about the 1956 World Series. I was 7 years old. My dad was pinch hitting for the Brooklyn Dodgers that day, and the Yankee pitcher Don Larsen threw a perfect game. And he was asking me questions, what I could remember about that, and I could remember the umpire after weeks, months, years after the game saying, "Hey, I knew the guy had a perfect game going," and I was pretty committed to the fact that if the pitch was even close to being a strike, I was calling it a strike. And my dad was a great hitter, thought the ball was quite a bit outside, took the pitch. But a lesson from my dad, he didn't ever like it that he was the victim of that and one of the most famous strikeout victims in history. But he also taught me just to keep your mouth shut, and I should have been swinging. Two strikes, last out in a perfect game.
Right. Take a good look at the umpire, and if he's got that look in his eye, swing whatever the ball is.
Yeah. But it's just fun reflecting back on all kinds of memories of our fathers. My dad died in 87, and
mine in 78.
78. So, dads, great things for me. So I thought we'd just talk about some stuff we should be doing as dads, some memories we have of our own fathers. And I don't even know where to start other than a perfect game is a good place to start.
I've got this memory of the day I became a dad.
Oh, and, boy.
You know, our firstborn, Stephanie, was born January 1st, 1980, so it was New Year's Day. So my wife, Allie, was in labor on New Year's Eve, and Stephanie was born. I remember holding her, just, you know, the overpowering emotion when you have, particularly, I think, your first kid. And it was a snowy, cold day in Denver, and I'd been up all night, and when finally it was time for Allison to kind of rest, and they were going to take Stephanie to the nursery, and I was going to go home, take a shower, and I walked out the door of the hospital, and as I was walking across the street, I had this thought that I had never even thought about in my life, and it was life insurance. Because I'd
I
become a dad.
I believe that's an ad now, by the way.
I'd become a dad, and suddenly I started thinking, you know, dads are, you know, providers.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Oh, bro.
So we've had the privilege of raising some great kids too. So.
Yeah. So Stephanie Baker, your two kids, Ashley and Andy, my two kids. I take a lot of joy now that each of my kids have two children of their own, saying as they're running around the house, the four cousins, I like saying to my daughter and son, I wish I would have never had children. And of course, Andy's like, thank you, Dad, so much for the reinforcement. But it changes everything. And there is a responsibility you feel and a pressure you feel, but it's, and a busyness, but it's, wow, a lot of joy that is just incredible and impossible to match with anything else. So well, Andy comes out, or Ashley comes out first. She's 38 now, but I was a ball player myself at the time. And so everybody's like, you want a son, a tough son, you want an athlete. And I remember started praying for a blonde-haired little girl. I want to, that's what I want. And Ashley came out with this brilliant white hair and all girl. So 2 years later, Andy followed. So we got one of each and kind of got to cover it all. But one of the interesting things I'd say to listeners is there aren't any books that can prepare you for what it is to be a father. They can help, but boy, when it hits fast and furiously, and you almost got to make it up as you're going and hang on, wouldn't you say?
I felt fortunate, and of course, when we first met, you had already had Ashley and Andy, and I think Stephanie was tiny, 6 months old, I think, when we first met. But you know, we spent so many years kind of doing men's retreats and talking about the subject and trying to help other guys figure out, you know, what does it mean to be a dad? How can we help? That, you know, the principles, you know, for me, the principles we were trying to teach other guys about were the ones that were helpful to me to kind of to constantly keep on my mind. And you know, and I think, you know, it's there are certain relationships like parenting that they almost are, you just feel you're never good enough. I mean, I feel like I gave it is my all to be a, you know, a good dad. And I still feel like I probably, you know, fouled things up more than I should have. So I think a lot of guys are out there and, you know, probably struggling and not
regretting maybe that they've blown it, but
yeah, like, you know, how, or struggling trying to figure out what is it that I need to be doing, you know, to really be the kind of dad my kids need.
Let me fire a few words at you.
Yeah.
And you just respond. Okay. Again, stating up front, we did our best, but we weren't perfect. And now that you mentioned it, we probably were learning a lot more from our own teaching and the stuff, material we read to prepare for whatever we're teaching on those retreats. But how about if I just say the word time?
Yeah, I think that's one of the main principles we used to talk with guys about, that, you know, the main, probably the biggest thing that our kids need from us is us, and that we need time. I remember back in those days, again, when we were teaching the retreat, there were statistics that had come out, and it was actually a study that was done by Scientific American. So this was, you know, this was a pretty high-level study on, and what they were trying to figure out was the root of later difficulties when, you know, teens were out of control or got in trouble with the law, got into drugs, you know, teen pregnancies, all of these sorts of issues. They were trying to figure out, is there some root to these issues that can be traced back to early childhood? And so they decided to try and identify how much time our men spending as fathers with their kind of preschool children. And so they interviewed a whole group of men and simply asked the question, how much time do you spend on a daily basis? And the average that was reported by these guys was that that they were spending about 3 minutes a day with their preschool kids. Well, you know, that sounds like tragic, you know, it sounds horrible. Well, what they did then is they monitored the homes. They actually literally monitored the homes so that they could get the hard data on how much time are these guys really spending with their kids. And it came out that the average that these guys were spending was like 2.5 encounters a day for a cumulative time average of 37 seconds.
Whew. So worse than had been reported.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we tried to drive home the fact that, you know, that somehow in our busy lives, you know, we need to find time. And again, I remember one of the big principles we used to try and communicate is that, particularly as working men, that oftentimes, you know, we work hard all day. We're tired. We come home, you know, we feel like, you know, hey, I need a break. I want to watch, you know, the news. I want to read the TV. Give me my Sports Illustrated. And that we used to use that great quote that when I come home, the most important work of my day begins. Mm. And that, you know, we need to figure out how to give our kids time and prioritize that.
Amen. Like right now, my 8-year-old grandson Mitchell has just latched onto baseball. So sitting here looking at this bandage on my calf where I pulled the muscle, trying to teach him how to field ground balls last night. But thinking to myself, every time he asked me, do you want to play catch, Beaupaw? I'm going to say yes. And as long as he keeps throwing it, I'm going to stand out there and keep throwing it because it passes so fast, and that time's not available again to us.
That's right. As another, you know, principle we used to teach, and I think you picked this up, actually. I think you watched an interview by Burt Reynolds. You remember this? And they asked him, what did he want to be remembered for?
Barbara Walters interview.
Yeah. And he said, I want to be remembered as a great dad or daddy.
Daddy,
I think it was, yeah. And of course, it was kind of strange because at the time he wasn't married and didn't have kids. But you know, he made that, and you know, we made the observation that, you know, you will always be a dad once you've had, you know, children. But you really have sort of a window of opportunity of a few years where you're really a daddy, and that again, normally that period of time, unfortunately, is right when you're probably in some of the toughest years of trying to build a career. And, you know, that there's a lot of pressure on you. And yet, you know, as you just said, that time flies by so quick that it's unbelievable.
And then you woke up. Was it the day Steph was born with the Rocky Mountain News article?
Baker.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And I can remember the title of that. It was.
I can, too. Hang on.
All right.
Let's have some dead air while we're competing to see if I can remember this.
All right.
The joys of fatherhood. Remembered? No.
Often discovered too late.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. The rewards of fatherhood.
The rewards.
Discovered too late. And it is. It was amazing because literally that paper was landing in my driveway about 5:30 that morning, and that was the day that my son Baker was born. And it was sort of that same principle. I think it was Bob Green wrote the article, and he was reflecting on how, you know, when his kids were little, you know, he didn't take time to give them a bath. He, you know, just, you
feed them drain pee.
Yeah, something, you know. He was just kind of going through all the things that he sort of passed up, you know, as a dad. And then by the time he wrote the article, I think, you know, his kids were pretty well grown, and he was reflecting back that how hard could that have been, you know. And you know, actually, his buddy had said to him, you're not spending enough time with your kids.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. And he wanted to poke him right in the eyes.
Yeah, hit him right between. Sometimes you don't learn those lessons until somebody, you know, punches you right between the eyes.
So this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, and Bob Belts is the voice you're listening to. And we're talking about being a dad here on Father's Day. And I will say this, too, for those of you that might feel left out of this discussion, one of the best dads I've ever seen is a guy named Bill Bostrom, and he and his wife Linda never had children, and yet they were parents, and Bill played the role of dad to more kids, and he still does it. So if you don't have children of your own or grandchildren yet, pay attention. Yeah. There's somebody in your neighborhood or nearby that you can parent just like old Billy Boy has done over time so amazingly well with kids all over the place. And I've seen Bill in action. He's got a heck of a lot more fathering skills than I'll ever have. So let me throw another word at you. How about discipline?
Well, interesting word, because again, from my perspective, parenting is hard enough, but without the help that you can get from the spiritual side of life and God helping you, you know, giving you the ability to, you know, be the kind of parent you need to be. I don't know how people do it, but so Scripture, you know, the Bible really becomes kind of a manual in relationships, and it's amazing how much of the Bible really is directed at how to treat each other, and particularly in some of these important relationships. And there's this verse that says that fathers should, you know, nurture or raise up, you know, different translations translated differently, their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And the fascinating thing in that, just even looking at that little passage, again, directed at fathers, is sometimes we kind of think that dad is the disciplinarian, and there's certainly a role for that. You know, and I'm not saying there isn't, but what's fascinated me about that verse is the idea that we're called to raise up, fathers are called to raise up, and the word to raise up there, it really probably would be better translated as to nurture, because it really talks about sort of the time and care that's given to, you know, like a plant to, you know, help it to grow and to thrive. And you know, we think about women oftentimes as the nurturers emotionally, and yet really that passage says that dads are. And again, I can remember, you know, when we were doing some of our retreats, we used to refer to a book by Ross Campbell, How to Really Love Your Kids. I think that was the title of the book. Good book. Probably can still get a hold of it on Amazon. But he said we should think of our kids as if it's like they have little emotional tanks, you know, that like a fuel tank, and that inside of there, you know, they need that little tank emotionally filled up every day. And that part of what the job of a dad is that's what nurturing does. And nurturing, I think, really has to do not only with the quantity of time we spend with our kids, but really the quality. And, you know, I know that I think in there, Campbell talks about, you know, tender touch and eye contact. And again, we used to talk about getting down into our kids' worlds where they lived. And anyway, you know, that whole kind of dimension of nurturing is really a critical part of discipline, along with what we sort of think of. Discipline's really shaping of a life. And so it's not only correction, it's really this whole nurturing and positive dimension of caring for our kids. And again, sometimes I think that gets handed off to mom, the moms, and yet biblically, at least, as men, we're called to be nurturers.
And I was saying also listening is such a big part of it. And even with my grandkids, when I take the time to sit still and just listen, I think, oh, brother, I've fallen another year and a half behind here in terms of how smart they really are and how what I perceive them to be able to handle or not handle. It's just their pace is so much quicker nowadays in terms of what they know and how they speak. And yeah. I sit there and think, I need to just shut up and listen here. My little granddaughter, Mackenzie, is just so smart. If I say to her, here, organize this whole thing for me, she'll just kind of smile like, not an issue. I'll get right back to you and have it all covered. She's be in the sixth grade next year, but if you don't listen to them, you really miss out too. Yeah. How about spiritual training?
Well, I call it the gift of truth. You know, I think there's these three gifts that we more than anything else need to give our kids. And one's the gift of time, one's the gift of tenderness, which is that nurture dimension, and then one's the gift of truth. I think, you know, I can remember, and I don't even know, you know, I the jury's still out. I look at my kids and I love them, and I feel like they've you know, they've really grown into remarkable human beings, but
they
probably
have,
in spite of me. But
no, you know, you're a great dad.
The gift of truth, I used to, you know, think that the two probably the two most positive elements that I could give to my kids or build into their lives was, number one, a positive sense of self-esteem, because so many, you know, people grow up in environments where they're, you know, they are perhaps, you know, treated so critically or negatively or abusively that the end result of that is they sort of internalize an image that I'm worthless, or, you know, I don't count. And so as a dad, I have the potential to build into the lives of my kids this, you know, message that, hey, you know, you are important, and you, you know, God has a plan for your life, and I care for you, and you're worth giving time to. But to give them this kind of, if somehow my parenting could result with them having a sense of positive self-esteem, that would be a tremendous gift that I would give to them. And then the second, you know, gift I could give to them is if somehow they could grow up with a positive image of God and who He is and what He means in their life. That I would be I would have been successful as a dad if I was able to accomplish those two things. So the spiritual side of things, again, I think is a first of all, I think it's got to be real in our own lives, because our kids catch, you know, they catch spirituality more than they're taught it. So us sort of wrestling and, you know, trying to be on a path of spiritual growth as a dad is a huge component in being able to pass that on to our kids, almost like passing the baton. And then, you know, I felt like it was important just to live it out in the lives of our kids, get them exposed to experiences both in the house and outside of the house where they would, you know, they'd have a chance to learn about how much God loved them, how much Jesus loved them, and to begin to develop a relationship, you know, of their own. And so it's been really interesting watching that in the lives of my kids and sort of the ups and downs of that and the times where, you know, your teenage kids kind of say to you, forget it, I don't believe any of that stuff, you know, that you've, you know, said over the years, and I'm going to go do what I want to do. And then kind of seeing them come full circle back around. And now, you know, you just feel like that's critically important that somehow we become instruments to build truth into their lives. So.
Good word. And I was going to also encourage our listeners by saying, it's never too late to draw a line in the sand and start over. Our really good friend, Helen Dye, passed away a few years ago, said to me when Ashley and Andy were 3 and 4 years old, she said I was the worst father she'd ever seen. I'm like, thank you so much. But
yeah, it was a wake-up call for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I said, tell me what you're talking about. Huh. And all of what you just said made me think of that time, discipline, nurturing. Because she said, Bo, you're so involved and consumed by your real estate business, you don't know your kids and you don't even know what they're doing. That helped me. And then on the positive self-esteem you were talking about, I can just remember Andy's face when I would say to anybody that we'd meet, this is my son Andy, and as far as we know, he is the single greatest athlete in his age group in the world. And he would just look up like, is everybody clear on this fact? Because my dad just said it. So you can fake it till you make it if you really are looking for ways to reinforce your son or daughter that way. And then also we had guys we dealt with, Bob, that could not say, I love you. So I would teach, it's okay to look at your kids and say, you know, I don't want to tell you this right now, but remind me in a few days to tell you how much I love you and how proud I am of you. So just that little step of removal would allow the kid to laugh and say, you just told me. And then the dad would be able to ease into that better than what he was doing before. So it's important. You have to say the words, carry a lot of weight. You have to be there, and you have to just not only do the best you can, but keep striving to learn, what does that mean? How can I do better?
And I think what you said earlier is really important, that it's never too late, because, you know, I know a lot of guys that are 50 and 60 years old that it would change their lives if their dads, many of whom aren't around anymore, were to say to him today, you know, I love you, you know, I didn't do a great job early on and maybe I was gone, but you got to know the same kind of things you're saying you said to Andy when he was a young kid. So, I mean, don't feel like it's too late for you as a dad, because it's, again, start today, regardless of the relationship. I'm feeling, talking about this, that I'm not doing as good a job with my son, who's 24. I need to get, you know, back on task with some of these things, because you just kind of let them drift. So,
well, it never changes. Baker's got one dad. I don't care if Baker's 24, 44, or 64. You're still his one dad.
Absolutely.
So let's be the instruments of love, and let's be the ones that write the note, take the responsibility, make the call, and say the words. Practice it. If you haven't said it before, rehearse it, and it'll come out easier.
Good. And PK, we were going to just say real quickly, because I know for many men, particularly in the early years when the real focus on Promise Keepers was on being a dad, a husband, you know, really those kinds of priorities. And it's exciting that, you know, that they're, that PK is going to do a PK Classic right here in Denver and kind of get back to its roots and emphasize those things again. And they can be a tremendous help to guys looking for resources.
We'll both be speaking. It's August 13th and 14th. So call Promise Keepers or
go online.
Go online and get the
dates.
It's a
free conference, by the way, which is great. So
First
guys
Church.
In Denver have a real opportunity.
It's going to be great. And also, we just closed by saying, way to go, dads. Tough job, and you're doing it. Be proud of what you're doing right and keep up the good work. And thanks for tuning into our program, Bob. As usual, you were right on the mark.
Yeah, you will. It's great just being able to encourage men and each other in these important things. So see you next week. Actually, see you at 10 o'clock at Highline.
Amen. Blessings to y'all. Thanks for tuning in. With sweet love and devotion, deeply touching my emotion, I want to stop. Thank you, baby. I want to stop. And thank you, baby. Yes, I do.